Blog Talk Radio.
I believe every word he said and all the promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your faith.
Your Name by Tanya Dallas Lewis. That song is from her debut CD entitled Miracles. It's available online. You want to make sure you pick it up because it will truly bless you. I am overjoyed, elated, excited about today's show. We are starting our monthly segment here on Marketing Ministry, the radio show called Inside PR with the one and only Phyllis Cadell. She is a PR specialist. I call her the public relations extraordinaire because she is a phenomenal woman. She's the best in my opinion of what she does. She has repped many, many great people, such as Mary Mary, Dawkins and Dawkins, Sony Music Group, Alvin Williams, Tammy Williams, Shanita Williams, Wendy Raquel Robinson, and the list goes on and on. And so with no further ado, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others my friend, Phyllis Cadell M. Hey, Phyllis.
Hey, Wanda. How are you?
I am great. I am so excited that you are here with us today.
I'm so glad to be here. I just want to make one correction, because if my client is on the phone listening, they are going to really reprimand me if I don't correct.
Okay.
Shanita Jones, not Shanita Williams. My client is Shanita Jones. So.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phyllis.
That's okay.
You got so many.
Okay.
I can't keep it. I can't keep track with everybody.
I can't.
I mean, you just
thing,
have a
but...
plethora. So, Shanita, I know Shanita is Shanita Jones. So, blame me, don't blame Phyllis.
That's okay.
Hey,
okay.
Not a problem. Well, I want to get right to the heart of the matter. I want to start off by letting our listeners know we're opening up our phone line so you can call and ask Phyllis any question that you would like in reference to public relations and how you can better present yourself as an artist or as an author or whatever you may be doing. So our phone lines will be open at 917-932-1720. Again, that number is 917-932-1720. So make sure you call and ask your questions for Phyllis. It costs you nothing, so you want to take advantage of this opportunity. You will learn from the best. Phyllis, I want to start off by asking you, I know that you hear this a thousand, a million times, and for those listeners who don't know, tell us, what is public relations? What is PR?
How about, well, PR includes, it's image building, it's media placements, it's publicity, it's using all the PR tools as press releases, media kits, press conferences. And it's basically just building yourself or your client up and creating relationships. So it's one of those things that you're just making sure that you are in the right, you know, in the right light, making it's you know what, it's so funny because I do it every day. But it's
and you do it so well.
Thank you. It's one of those things where it's a way to launch. It's a way to it's important because it increases your credibility. There's so many aspects of PR. So when you say what is public relations, then you have to break it down. There's media relations. There's consumer relations. And so if you're speaking of media relations, it's more of attracting quality prospects. It's making you making favorable impressions of yourself as far as being in the media, being in the light. And if people read about you, it increases your credibility. If they see an advertisement, that just increases your name recognition. But if they see a story praising you or your company, or if they see you performing on TV, they're much more likely to have a favorable opinion of you or your company. So PR is one of those. It's kind of a mind game. It's a, you know, it kind of tricks the consumer into liking you in certain ways, loving you, and it's all about how you present yourself, how you put yourself out there through the tools such as writing press releases and, you know, taking photo ops with different celebrities and being placed in certain positions. So it's kind of that in a nutshell. It's not a nutshell. It's so much to it. So you say that. It's a wide area, but you can break it down in different aspects. How's that?
Absolutely. That was great. Now, I'm going to piggyback on something you just said. Explain to our listeners the difference between media relations and consumer relations.
Media relations is when a publicist deals more with the media on a day-to-day basis. so you're constantly pitching. You're say if you have a book or you have a CD and you want to get coverage on it. Well, media relations comes into play when you write a press release about your product. You pitch it to the media, and you hopefully they love it and they'll put it in their publication, or they'll have you on their TV show, or they'll book you for a radio interview. If it's a CD, maybe you'll get a CD review, or maybe they will, talk more about the CD, but then give more on the artist, the background overview. So you're just dealing with the media every day and trying to get your product or yourself, which is a product, in the eyes of the consumer. If it's entertainment, then you want to go after entertainment publications or entertainment TV shows. If it's a nonprofit organization, then that's a whole other area. So you have to, one thing about mm-hmm. media relations and PR, you always have to know your market. You always have to know who you're pitching to and who you want to get your news to. So the difference, consumer relations is more consumer, more product relations, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You're reaching out to the consumer. It's consumer. Anything that you're doing is consumer based. Consumer relations would be if you're pitching a Hoover vacuum cleaner, and it's more of that buying audience, and you want that product to be in the consumer's face. So then you still have to deal with the media, but you don't deal with like entertainment, say for instance a book or CD. You deal with more of the consumer or product editors who are at these media outlets, and you're trying to get a certain type of consumer to buy into whatever you're selling or whatever you're trying to get, whatever message you're trying to get out.
Okay. Now, you know, you have a lot of, especially independent artists these days that are trying to represent themselves, you know, simply because they don't have the budget to pay for a publicist or they don't understand mm-hmm. all the aspects of publicity. What would be the first thing that you would tell someone that's trying to rep themselves? What would they need to do? What are some of the basics?
Some of the basics for trying to rep yourself is, one, buy my book.
Yeah, pick up the book. Find the name of the book, Phyllis.
Do-it-yourself publicity for those too cheap or too broke to hire a publicist. One thing you really need to know is how to have – the main thing is to have great follow-up skills, because – you can put something out there. When I say put something out there, meaning like you can send a letter to an editor or you can send a press release, and that's it, and expect something to come back to you. Well, mm-hmm. once you send it out there, then you have to follow up and make your phone calls and make sure that they've received it, make sure, you know, find out if they're interested. So you have to continue to follow up, you know, check the internet, check Google search, put your product, sign it up with Google search. That way you can always get the reports to you to see if anyone picked it up. Because sometimes, and you can have the greatest follow-up skills, and a lot of times you can't even get through to editors or producers or whomever you're trying to reach to place your product. So follow-up skills is one. Two, be extremely professional. A lot of times if you're repping yourself, I say, you know, I always use the example of somewhat of Beyonce, how she's Beyonce off stage, but she's Sasha Fierce on stage. So you have mm-hmm. two identities. So if you want people to take you seriously and you don't have the money to hire anyone to represent you, you know, just have just be two people, basically. You can be, mm-hmm. I can be Phyllis Cadell in the day or, you know, day to day, but if I'm pitching the media, then I can become someone else, like Sharon Jackson. I don't know. Because it always looks better if you have someone representing you. Then they take you more seriously, and they feel that you are a serious business person and that you're really, you know, serious about what you're doing. So that's another thing. The other is research. Do a lot of research. Make sure you know your market. Make sure you know who your target audience is. So, you know, like I was saying before, if you have a CD, a music CD, and you want entertainment or music editors to review your CD, make sure you call these publications and ask for either the newsroom or editorial, and just let them know, hi, I'm Phyllis Cadell. I'm calling from whatever the name of your company is, and we're just making sure we're updating our media list. We need to know if Wanda Adams is still the editor of the Gospel Review, and then if they say yes, and then it's like great, okay, so and is her email still the same? Blah blah blah. And if it isn't, and then say, well, could you give me your current editor? Make sure you always have an updated media list, because if you send these things out to people, one, you're wasting money because you have to send over the CD. Two, you're wasting time, and then someone has your CD out there, you have to send another one. So always research your media market, and then you research your consumer audience. Make sure you know who you want to target this to. Who do you want to buy your product? So if you are looking to performing or being in the company of people who might want to book you or buy your material, make sure you go online. Check out different conferences where you can go and find people of your kind, different recording artists or different authors, different chefs, whatever it is. Go to those conferences. Market yourselves. And then pitch different, you know, call different conferences where maybe you can get on shows, even if it's to perform for free, but you're in front of an audience who likes your type of music. So you have to make sure you know, research all those things. Another tip is to network. I cannot stress how important it is to network. Always have yourself in front of people who can either, like I said, who can either buy your product or book you for something, or always get yourself out there. Always make sure that you're showing your face or branding your name and the like. And another one way to do that is social media has really taken off. Facebook and the whole thing. And there's a few tricks, like even on like Twitter, there's a few tricks to get more like retweets.
Say it slowly.
Say it three times. Retweets. You want to get people to retweet you. Lots of people, but sometimes. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but you can get these tweets. It's a few little tricks you have. Like, say, for instance, if you're on Twitter, which you should be if you're trying to get your name out there, and you definitely need to go viral, you can become friends with top influencers. You know, try to make a list of the top influencers in your industry. So, and then you look for those people who seem to constantly get retweeted no matter what they say, and try to build relationships with them. That's what you want to do. And you retweet them and you say at replying them to join in conversations with them. And so then your name is constantly, you know, you're creating relationships with these individuals, and your name is constantly tweeting with their names, and they'll begin to notice you and your tweets. The second thing is you have to get more followers. You know, the more people who follow you, the better your chances are of getting retweets. And ideally, you want followers who are interested in what you have to say. So to attract those followers, You should get listed in all the major Twitter directories. There are Twitter directories. You know, placing your links to your Twitter profile on your blog and your website, on your Facebook. And then you definitely want to double up your retweet buttons. And that's it's an interesting technique I've seen used on some, like, other blogs to double up retweets. So some bloggers, like, if you put a retweet button at the top and the bottom of your post, it makes it easier for readers to, like, instantly retweet your post no matter where they are on the page. So that's a good thing. And then another thing is if you've been on Twitter long and seen Twitters that start with a please retweet, it's please RT. Now, by actually asking people to do that, you can increase your chances of them actually retweeting your message. And then another good thing is to retweet others. Now, if you know, you have to give to receive. So if you see something and shows that you aren't just on Twitter to promote yourself, that's what you want to make sure. You want to make sure you're not just about yourself on Twitter or Facebook, and you always want to make sure you retweet others' stuff. And then people who retweet you, you can always thank them because that's something that people rarely do. And so it's just a kind of things like that. So it's and make sure that anything that you do tweet is interesting. You know, it's interesting, it's compelling, it's something that people are you think that I definitely want to hear more about or, you know, that kind of thing. So they will be more likely to retweet. And that goes the same for Facebook, you know, be Facebook friendly, do the same thing. And you can definitely build your brand, build yourself, build awareness, create awareness for yourself, your whatever it is that you're trying to get out there. So that's a really good trick.
Now, Phyllis, I want to revisit something that you said earlier. You know, when you were talking about when people are trying to represent themselves, you know, creating an alias, you know, operating under a name other than their own. Because, see, sometimes as people, you know, you want to rep yourself, but then you want to create that environment that you're not repping yourself. So those are some little strategies in it, too, because sometimes when you're out calling on your behalf, if I'm saying I'm Wanda Adams and I'm trying to push myself, sometimes people in the industry are not, maybe not want to talk to me because, you know, sometimes when I've been talking to, like, music directors and program directors, that's one thing they always say is they sometimes they hate for the artist to call them directly because, for number one, they don't know the industry and they can't take constructive criticism. What are your viewpoints on that?
As far as, I'm sorry, my viewpoints on whether or not the artist should call?
You know, like sometimes the significance of them having an alias because you will get better response by saying that you're someone else than maybe you calling, you know, representing yourself.
Exactly. That the significance is it's great. The odds of you getting through is much higher than you as an artist calling directly. And you're right. A lot of the media they prefer not to talk to the artist but to their representative. So it is extremely important to have that alias and because it creates it makes it, you know, you're bigger than you are. That's what you're always trying
to
create. And that's one trick in PR is that you always want to seem bigger than you are. And that's how people operate. That's how their minds operate. They always want to deal with the people who they feel are, you know, doing things, you know, making it happen. So, and because if you call as yourself and then it looks like you have a little mom, pa, you know, organization or business and it's just a one woman or one man show, which is no problem because I've seen a lot of people succeed that way. I started out that way.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people.
So did I.
You know, a lot of people just can't get over that fact. A lot of people are so Hollywood that they want, you know, oh, no, you know, I talk to such and such publicist or I talk to their manager. Oh, yeah, we go way back. Oh, I know them. You know, it's all about who you know. So they want to, in a way, they feel like it is increasing their ego as well, because, you know, they have this long list of contacts and, oh, yes, I go to lunch with this person. And so it's all about the whole, it's a mind game. It is really a mind game.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, most of these artists, I'm sure they're great actors and they can change their voices. Or
mm-hmm.
Or you might have a good friend who is supporting you, who is really trying to help you. And they may not be a publicist or they may not be a manager, but you get a few books and you read and you research and you educate yourself. You can come off as someone who knows what they're talking about, at least for, you know, a minute or 2 minute phone call, just to get, you know, get a CD review or get
in the
coverage. Yeah. And the more you go, the more you learn, you know. So like when I first started out, it was, even though I went to school for PR, it's still a matter of actually doing what you've learned. You know, it's one thing to take tests and read about it and know and learn the practical, how to be a publicist or the functions of a publicist, but to actually put that knowledge into works is totally different. And when I first started out, yeah, I called editors, I called producers, I called them on the wrong days, I called them on the days that they had deadlines, I had people scream at me, I had people hang up in my face, but it was a learning experience. And the more I did it, the better I became. So, you know, practice makes perfect, and that's true. And even today, I mean, I've been practicing PR for, 17 years, and I still have to go back to my notes and go back to my books and go back to my, you know, things, and just kind of, you know, just kind of, I guess, just
reinvent,
create
and re-improve yourself.
Yeah, definitely reinvent. Definitely reinvent, recreate different things, and just improve on certain qualities, because it's an ongoing, learning business for me. Things happen so fast. Like at one point, there was no digital PR. You know, there was no internet. There were things like that. You know, there weren't. To the point where producers say, okay, send me over an MP3 of a song, where they used to say, send me a full press kit and the full CD. Some people still want that, but a lot of people, you know, most of the stuff is going electronically now. Everything's digital. So it's just an ongoing learning experience. So you just have to, you know, everybody's learning. So the only way that you're going to know if you can do it is if you dive in and just start, you know?
Absolutely. Now, Our phone queue is full, and I want to encourage our callers, you know, if you want to ask a question of Phyllis Goodell, just press 1 and we'll bring you on the line. I see, Phyllis, we do have a caller in the queue that would like to ask you a question, and are you ready?
I am, yes. I am.
Okay. So, caller from area code 626, state your name and your question for Phyllis Goodell M.
Hi, my name is Lynn. And I was just curious, first of all, you know, I bought your book, and I really appreciate you, you know, divulging some of the, you know, industry secrets, but not giving them, you know, too much. But I appreciate the book. And I was just curious, like, as a new artist, when would be the best time, I guess, to hire a publicist, and What's the benefit to hiring a publicist?
That's a good question, Lynn. When would be the best time to hire a publicist would be at the beginning. A lot of people wait. They wait until they have the record done, and then they want to get it out, and then they call a publicist and they say, well, I really need a publicist. And I say, the first thing I say is, well, when is your release day? Well, next month. Well, that's a little too late. There are things that can definitely happen, but you want a publicist on board so that they can write your press release, they can write your bio, and they can start to create an image for you and create and start branding you. A publicist should be hired at least 6 months before your project is the release date.
Say that again, Phyllis.
the publicist should be hired at least at least 6 months in advance. And that's to, you know, there are a lot of things that are out there, a lot of things that an artist can take advantage of with a publicist that they don't know about. If you're let's say your CD is coming out the same time, maybe your CD is coming out the same time as a certain conference or a certain award show or things like that. The publicist can start pitching you to be on these things way before your music comes out. They can start branding you. They can start doing a lot of things pre-release date as opposed to then doing everything after your CD has come out, because after the fact, then it's not newsworthy. There's no news there. There's no news that this great artist is coming out. It's all after the fact. Then it's the publisher's job to come up with different strategies to try and create angles, whereas they had great angles before. And the benefits, did you say it was the benefits of a publicist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The benefits of a publicist is like some of the things I just said. You know, they can get you into different places. They have information about things that the average consumer won't have. They get different emails. They have relationships with different producers, editors, radio announcers, promoters. It's all about relationships. So having that publicist can definitely put you on a higher platform and get you into places where you couldn't get in just as yourself as an artist. No matter how good you are, no matter what you bring to the table, if you don't have the publicist who has those relationships and who can do those things for you, you will more than likely, it'll be maybe a longer trip. Getting to your journey might be a little longer, or you may not be able to reap the benefits or rewards that you could have reaped, you know, by not having that publicist. So that person is your spokesperson, that person is your researcher, that person is your representative, that person is a person who identifies different areas, different openings, different everything. You know, they can get you on movie. They can help do things, you know, and they can work with your manager to get you on certain movies or pitch your music to different film companies to be in films or on TV shows. It's just a plethora of things that a publicist can do for an artist or anyone who needs to get themselves out there. So it is definitely, there are definitely benefits to having a publicist.
So basically, like, a publicist is just as important as having, like, my manager. So is for an artist or, you know, upcoming artist or myself, or it should a publicist, manager, an agent, they all kind of work hand in hand? Is that what the situation is?
They all work hand in hand, but usually you don't need a manager. Well, you can have a manager up front at the beginning, but a lot of times a manager will manage everything that you're doing. And everything, the manager, like the publicist, goes to the manager. The agent talks to the manager. The manager is the person at the top of the umbrella, and then while everything else falls underneath, the label, the manager talks to the label. So it is definitely important for the manager to be involved. A good manager is definitely something that you need. And then a publicist, I say, would be the next thing. As far as an agent usually wants to see what you've done, how far you've gotten, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have to appeal to them, and then they'll want to pick you up.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate everything, and you and I, more to you in the future.
Thank you. What's your name, Lynn? Hello?
I guess Lynn. Lynn, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I just want to know. I forgot your name, so I just want to say thank you and address you to as your name is Lynn. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Lynn.
Bye bye.
Well, you know, just as she was asking you those questions, Phyllis, and as you were replying, you know, I think it's important for our listeners to know, yes, there are some things you can do yourself, but a lot of things that are done in, and this is going to lead to our next question, in marketing and PR as well, a lot of that is established by relationships. And I know I always tell my clients that, you know, you can't rep yourself, because even when you try, you know, you've got to create that facade of that alias that you are someone else, so in actuality you're not giving the appearance that you are repping yourself. And
right.
If you don't know the industry, and if you can't take constructive criticism, because just like you were saying, you know, we get people that hang up in our faces daily.
Right, right.
You know, you get people that tell you no. You get people that tell you yes and then tell you no. You get bookings and then those bookings cancel. And so
right.
If you're not equipped to deal with that, because nobody wants to deal with anybody that's whining and crying and complaining on the phone.
Right.
And so you really have to, you know, have that tough skin, and you really need to know the industry and really know and appreciate seasons.
Yes.
Is that how you're going to say lady is yes?
Wait a minute. I thought you were still. You say, okay, I'm sorry, Ms. Adams, what's your
question? I'm teasing you, Phyllis. For our listeners that know, Phyllis and I are go way back, so we can act like this with each other. You know, you got to laugh. But I'm going to go to my next question. Phyllis, tell our listeners the difference between marketing and PR.
Well, you know, I get this question a lot, and it's amazing.
So do I.
Now, okay, so PR is usually associated with relationships, whereas
mm-hmm.
marketing is about selling. So
mm-hmm.
with marketing, your goal is to get some kind of action from your readership. So, like, say, for instance, you might send a letter asking people to send off for a free sample, or you might send a postcard with a tear-off section that people can complete and return to you for, like, a catalog or a voucher, and so on. Now,
mm-hmm.
again, PR includes image building. It includes media placement, publicity, making use of press releases, media kits, and PR, PR seeks to create and then maintain positive relationships with their publics. Now, marketing, on the other hand, is concerned with the market, and so it's driven by
mm-hmm.
consumers' wants and needs. So marketing is everything you do to place your product or service in the hands of potential customers. And if that doesn't make sense, think of it this way. If a guy tells his date she's intelligent, she's beautiful, and has a great personality, he's saying the right things to the right person, and that's marketing. Now, if someone else tells the woman how handsome, smart, and successful her date is, that's public relations. So people don't just buy a product. They buy the concept of what the product would do for them or help them to do for themselves. That's marketing. So say, for instance, if there's someone who's overweight, people who are overweight, they don't join a franchise. They don't join like a franchise diet center like Jenny Craig to eat prepackaged meals. They buy the concept of a new, thin, happy, and successful self. So that's the difference. Marketing is getting the people to buy into a concept and say, oh, I want to be like that, or oh, that looks good, or oh, you know, that'll help
mm-hmm.
me out. And then PR is to go behind them and write about it, get it placed so it brings more credibility. How's that?
That was great. You know,
they work hand in hand. Uh-huh.
They do. And it's a thin line because, you know, in marketing you do press releases and
mm-hmm.
that. I always tell my clients, it's just not my job to get you booked. When I go out, it's to get you rebooked. I have to
right.
to create a brand and an image around you so that people will want you ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, especially, you know, a lot of times we look at, you know, marketing gets a bad rep because people always associate marketing with that telemarketer that calls you at 6 or 7 o'clock and wants to mess up your meal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that's not, you know, it's just like, okay, here they go. No, that's not what I'm about. You know, I am not, you know, different people use different terminologies. I always say I'm not trying to sell anybody on you. I'm doing a presentation. I'm presenting you in your best light, what's inside your heart, in your best craft. So, because, you know, if someone comes to you with a crappy project, it's nothing I can do for you. You know, it was so true what you just said about, you know, you need to start 6 months or even longer before you do a project. Because, you know, when someone comes to you with somebody all prepared, sometimes you find a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, you do.
And it's hard to present or to pitch something, you know, with those mistakes in it. You know, if you did a project and it sounds like your mixing and your mastering was done in your kitchen and you just spend X amount of dollars, there's nothing I can do for that.
No, you really have to go back to the lab. Definitely.
And, you know, you get a lot of that. Or if someone, you know, takes a bad photo shoot and they have that on the cover of their CD, these are all little things that I don't think artists realize that will make radio and other people just look at it and, you know, pitch it into the trash or in a folder.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they will look at what the imaging on your CD cover before they even play it.
They will. They will. Imaging has a lot to do with marketing, with PR, with everything, with this world. I mean, seriously, you know, that's like, especially like when they did the experiment on, I think it was Oprah, when they, it was on some show, and one of the, someone wore like a fat suit, and then they went to certain places to get served and whatever, and how they were treated, and then they came back as a thin person, and then they were treated better, which is just ridiculous. I think that's so unfair. But that's how people think. That's how the consumer thinks. They like to see nice images. They like to see things that are pleasant and beautiful. And, you know, so you have to make sure that you have the best photographer. And they don't have to be the best, but a great photographer who can do, you know, you can just come up with these great concepts and really bring the best of you, bring you, you know, the best out of you. A great makeup artist, a great hairstylist, a great fashion stylist, especially, and I always tell people, if you're an artist, a recording artist, your image has to match your music, you know? If you sing traditional or gospel and you come out dressed like George...
Tina Turner.
What's his name? Yeah, if you come out dressed like Tina Turner, come on now. You know, it's like, who is this person? You know, you're confusing. You're not only confusing the consumer or the radio announcer who gets it or whomever gets it. They're looking and saying you're confused because you're just not consistent. So there has to be a consistency with everything, with what is written in your press release, on your bio, to how you sing, how you look, and how you speak. It has to be consistent with who you're trying to convey, you know, that image you're trying to convey. So it's extremely important.
Now, Phyllis, let's talk a little bit about media training, because when you just spoke about how a person speaks, I know one of the things that I get a lot is, you know, everybody thinks they're ready to do an interview. Then they come off and they can't sell themselves.
True.
You know, it's just a dry conversation, and, you know, you're listening, you say, well, I don't even want to buy your record. What
True.
Are some of the things that it is? I mean, you know, and then the downside is that when you have to come and give someone constructive criticism to let them know, you know, who's better to sell you than you?
Exactly.
If you can't sell you, then I can't sell you. So when you come off, you know, you need to come off full of life, energetic, knowing your product. You know, I've had some people that don't know their own music. You know, people will read their bios and say, oh, I heard you did so-so-so-so. What? You know, like,
I did.
You don't know you? You didn't know? You didn't know that was in there? So talk about a little bit about how important media training is, and then we have another caller on the line for you. So they're raising their hands, girl. They are loving Phyllis Cadell M today.
Hilarious. Media training is extremely important. It builds your confidence. It it teaches you proper body language, proper messaging, you know, answer techniques. It's something where people will see the difference in someone who sits properly, who's poised, who's confident in their answers, who knows about their product, like you said, things of that nature. It media training helps you get over a lot of your fears. It helps you enunciate. It just helps you present yourself in a professional way where people, meaning the audience or the consumer, whomever's listening to you or watching you, can take you seriously and actually want to hear every word that's coming out of your mouth. Media training helps you become more of an interesting person. It makes you relaxed. It gives you, that confidence is so important, because when you are confident and you know what you're speaking about and you support what you're selling, everyone else will. Like my husband always says, if you don't believe, no one else will believe. And it's so true. And there's nothing better than watching a confident person talk about and have a passion for what they're talking about, because it really, really takes you to the edge of your seat and brings you in, or keeps your ear on that phone, or, you know, keeps you listening to that person. So it's really important. Some people have it. Some people are just born with it. Some people just have that thing. You know, and others have,
like me, I just have that thing.
Right. So anyway, you know, some people have it. Some people, you know, have to be trained. Me, for instance, I can get on a phone like this interview here, and I will be tongue tied. And I have this problem with my brain builds up too much information. It stores so much information that I'm trying to get it out all at the same time. So it just blah sometimes. So, you know, I have to talk to myself. I have to teach myself. Relax, you know, just talk about what you know. Because it's very normal for people to be nervous. That's one thing that, you know, people who have been doing this for years and years and years, performing or talking, speaking in front of people, they still get nervous. So it's so important to have some type of media training just to be able to sell what you're, you know, sell your product and believe in it and make people believe in it. Those are the most important things. So, yes, extremely important. If you can't do anything else, make sure you sign up and do some type of a media training workshop, because it's so important. Because I'm not going to sit on the phone and listen to someone who is just boring me. I'm going to hang up. So I will. I'll hang up. And a lot of people who just call me and want PR representation, or they think they do, and they start off, "How you doing?" I was on the you know, it's just like, what? I'm busy. Come on, seriously, get to the point. And that is the same. It goes for press release writing. If you don't tell the people who you are, what you want, how you're gonna do it, why you want it in the first paragraph, they're not gonna read on. So it's really across the board. It's the same thing, you know, have that confidence, speak up, and get to the point, basically.
Now, Phyllis, we're going to take another call, and this is from caller area code 312. State your name and your question for Phyllis Cadell M.
My name is Bruce Fan, and I'm calling from Gold Street Gospel in Chicago. And my question to Phyllis is, how do we get some help in Chicago?
You're calling from where? Oh, what, Chicago, but what's the name of your company?
Gold Street Gospel.
Mm-hmm. First of all, since you're calling from Chicago, the first thing I can tell you is to send me some Garrett's popcorn, and then we can talk.
Ooh. No doubt about it. I've been around to the 5 locations downtown. It seems to be the number one request from anyone: popcorn, Maxwell Street, Jay's Potato Chips, and you can get what you want out of my services. So
I like the one with the 3 different types of nuts. Thank you. Okay, so you're saying, how can you get help? I don't even know what you do.
See, that's the whole point. So I engaged you in that part in order to get some specific dialogue from you, you know, about what your expertise is. So normally if you sell groceries, you know, you ask for help. And people who sell groceries, they say, well, you know, I can tell you what I'm an expert at, and maybe that'll help you. So I don't put my foot in my mouth. I said, I better just say, I need some help. All right.
Okay.
And I'll let expert women, you know, the expert women, I listen to you guys talk. You and Miss Wanda seem to know a whole lot about everything. So
I wouldn't say about everything,
right,
but I know a lot about what I do. So what exactly do you do?
I have a recording.
He's a record label.
Oh, you're a record label, and you need help as far as what? You have artists? Are they
public
relations?
I'll speak for Bruce. I don't let Bruce talk. Bruce is one of my clients. I ain't gonna let him talk.
Okay.
So I've heard your name, you know, for a period of time, and I finally saw your picture, and I got an email with the picture, and I was like, hey, I better call in and see what these powerful women talking about over here. So
my picture made you call in?
Your picture.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
That is PR at its optimal capacity, okay?
Well, see, there you go, branding. See?
That's it. So, that's one form of it right there. So I said, okay. But I understand you're married and all that kind of good stuff, so I apologize. But that's my
problem
for the day, Miss Wanda. You said I'm so serious all the time, so I'm trying to make it happen now, all right?
No, thank you. Do you have PR?
Bruce could really use your services.
You have PR?
No, he could use your services, Phyllis. I'm going to put you in contact with him.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, sir, and don't forget about my popcorn.
I promise you I will not. I just need a forwarding address.
You got it.
All right. Thank you all so very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce, for having fun with us.
All right. Appreciate it.
Okay. Now, Phyllis, our time is coming to a close, but I want you to talk about, you know, you have been mentioning press releases. Talk about briefly the 10 essential tips for writing an effective press release. Because, you know, sometimes you see people, they'll send out a press release and it's not in the proper format. You know, it looks like a flyer. It doesn't have, you know, a catchy heading to draw you in. So talk about what would a person that is trying to write their own press release, what do they need to do other than hire you or me?
Well, first of all, they need to know how to write. That's so important. If you don't know how to write, seriously, you can do a number of things. You can hire someone who just writes, you know, bios and press releases. You can go to a college and find someone who is in a journalism school and see how much they'll charge you to write a press release. Or you can buy my book and find, you know, different templates of what you need to write about, or just follow the template. But when writing a press release, you have to make sure the number one thing is to make sure the information is newsworthy. You know, if it's not newsworthy, then you shouldn't be writing a press release. You should always ask yourself, will the media be interested? I mean, why would they? You know, if I write this and send it, will they say, so what? Or will they say, ooh, this really needs, you know, I really need more. And a lot of times, you know, we think everything that we have to say is newsworthy. So you might want to run it across somebody else, someone who is, you know, just to see, you know, it's always good to have more people look at your writing and look at things to get just a better an idea of what, you know, reality. Because a lot of us are just, like, not realistic about things. And one of the things in the press release is you have to tell the audience that the information is intended for them and why. And why should they continue to read it? And that's where I was saying, you know, the who are you, what is it that you're writing about, how can this either help someone or why should they keep reading, all those W's, we call them the five W's, who, what, why, when, what is it, sometimes how and where. If it's an event, you want to make sure you put the location in that first paragraph. And, you know, you want to ask yourself, how are people going to relate to this and will they be able to connect to it? If you're sending it out to a certain audience, you know, if you're sending a CD press release and you're sending it over to an editor over at Sophisticates Black Hair. I don't get it. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Are they going to relate to what you have to say? You know, so make sure it's relatable, and whoever you're sending it to will be able to connect to your message. And the first 10 words of your release are so effective. They have to be effective. They're the most important. So, you know, who you are, why you're writing it, those same W's. If you keep those who, what, when, where, why, and sometimes how in your mind, that first paragraph should come off very, very strong. You need to avoid excessive use of adjectives and fancy language. Nobody wants to see how smart you are, or they don't want to see, oh, great, you can write. You can use those big words, because you're going to lose half your population, because a lot of people, you know, when I was in school and a lot of my journalism classes, the instructors always said, make it simple, stupid, because you don't want to, one, offend anybody and then make them feel that they're stupid, you know, and make them feel that they are not smarter than the fifth grader. So you definitely want to just make it simple, stupid, and keep, you know, don't make it all flowery and
plain,
you know, beautiful and wonderful and all that stuff. Just give them the information. The less words, the better. You know, and deal with the facts. Just stick to the facts. Why you're sending it, and what's in it? The facts. You know, isn't it an event? Do you want someone to read your book? Do you want them to listen to your record? That kind of thing. And then you want to make sure you provide as much contact information as possible. You know, your address, the phone number, the fax, the email, website, whatever it is, however these people can get more information if they need to. You want to make sure that's on there. And then before you even send or write a press release, you want to make sure you wait until you have something with enough substance to even send it. So back to, you know, make sure the information is newsworthy. And then the other thing is to make sure it's as easy as possible for the media representation that you're sending it to. Make sure it's easy for them to do their jobs, because the better it's written, the less work they have to do. And a lot of times they're short staffed, so if you write a great press release and you send it in, they'll use it verbatim, and they don't have to do any work, and they'll love you for it.
Absolutely. Now, we have another caller that has a question for you, Phyllis, and this is calling from area code 310. State your name and your question for Phyllis Cadell M.
Hi, my name is Tracy, and I have a question for Phyllis. Thank you. Hi, Wanda. How are you?
Hi, Tracy.
My question,
you have a question?
If I want to create a media list, I want to know what type of media representation am I looking for if I am promoting health and beauty products, health and beauty books? So, for example, if I'm trying to get my products in a magazine, am I looking for a particular type of editor of that magazine?
You are. You're looking for either a beauty editor or a style editor, depending on what your product is in. Did you say skincare?
Yes.
Did you? Okay. Then you would look for beauty editors in most of your magazines. Is your product for a certain demographic or across the board, or?
Well, the name doesn't. Well, that's another thing. I may need to meet with you and a marketing person, but it's just a natural, organic, great professional skincare product. It can be narrowed to one demographic, or it can be used by others, and it's actually in the process of being created. So we haven't really sat down and, you know, pinpointed all of that yet.
So your target audience is across the board, women, men, white, black?
Yes, at this point it is.
Okay, so you can create your media list. You can create it. You can have, if you have any celebrity clients, then you can pitch entertainment, consumer magazines like Essence or InStyle, and pitch the beauty editor. Or you can go directly to like dermatology magazines, trade magazines, skincare magazines, those things, and speak with the editor at large, or you can, you know, there are a lot of blogs out there. There are a lot of people who want to blog about your information. There are a lot of internet magazines today where you can pitch. You know, Upscale magazines, they have a beauty editor, Essence, Ebony, Glamour, all the consumer / entertainment publications, they all have beauty editors. So that's how you compile your list. And then if you wanted to do something, if you wanted to be on a talk show, then you would just get the producer or ask for the assignment desk. If you call like a news station, like, you know, you want to be on the morning talk show of I don't know, CBS or ABC or Fox, you call the assignment desk, and then you ask the assignment desk who you would pitch your story to, and then you start compiling your TV media list that way.
Wow. Thank you so much. This has been great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Tracy.
Okay. You're welcome, Wanda.
Phyllis, bye-bye. Phyllis, we are out of time. You know, it always goes by quickly when you're having a good time. I want to thank you for hanging out with us, and to our listeners, you can catch Inside PR the first week of each month. So Phyllis will be back in January, so make sure you have your questions, and you can talk to her and ask her questions then. But Phyllis, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with us and for blessing our listeners with your wealth of information and knowledge.
Thank you for having me, Ms. Adams. I had a good time. Oh,
my,
and you know what?
My
pleasure.
I
want to tell your listeners that I have a new book coming out, Do-It-Yourself Publicity for Those Too Cheap or Too Broke to Hire a Publicist, Part 2, and it focuses more on digital PR. And you can go to my website and pre-order it right now. The website is pcpublicrelations.com, and there's other things on there if you're interested in learning more about PR. So pcpublicrelations.com.
Well, Phyllis, thank you. Until next month, like I said, you want to get your questions, you want to tweet, text, call and tell a friend to listen to us in January. We'll put the date on the website to call in as we go Inside PR with Phyllis Cadell. Thank you so much. Until next time, don't be afraid to cast your vision and to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. Thanks, Phyllis.
Thank you, Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and all his promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your feet.